thank you for your word today, Lord. Thank you for the hope that we have in you. In Jesus' name. I'm not on? He's recovering. Hallelujah. I'm on, right? Y'all just had a question. Praise the Lord. We're going to be ministering today from a very familiar passage of Scripture. One that you've probably got it on your wall at home or on a bookmarker or see it on the bumper stickers of cars. One that we quote quite often. And that's Jeremiah 29:11. I'm going to read the King James Version, then I'm going to read the NIV. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. And the NIV says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Amen. So when these words were spoken, they were spoken to a displaced, defeated, depressed group of exiles in Babylon. And it goes on, you study it, and it says, they hung their harps on the willow trees and had lost their song. And, you know, I preached a message about don't allow the enemy to steal your song. All of us have a song. So, and that's what the enemy is after, stealing your song, because your song is what brings you joy. Because your song is related to what God has brought you from. Amen. Into. So, but God says, I know what I'm doing. Aren't you glad God knows what he's doing? Because a lot of times we don't know what's going on. But God does. And he says, I know the plans that I have for you, and they are plans to bring you to a future. And what have we been talking about the last few Sundays going forward? Amen. So he says, they are plans to bring you a future and a hope. So if you're feeling hopeless today, you have hope in Jesus. In the midst of what is going on at the present time, he's telling them and telling us that I know what's going on in your life right at this moment. You may not discuss it with nobody else, but God knows. Amen. God knows. And he says, everything I'm doing is to bring you a future and a hope and an expected end. Praise God. Our hope is in Jesus today, church. Not in men, not in people, because people will fail you and let you down. Jesus will never, ever, ever, ever fail you. Even when things happen that we don't understand. And I know the plans I have for you. So we may find ourselves at times in situations that we regard and look at as unthinkable. And, you know, why are we going through this? And why is God allowing this to happen? But we have to remember in those times and in the midst of those things that we're going through, those circumstances and things do not reflect God's attitude toward us. It doesn't change God's mind concerning the plans he has for us. It doesn't change God's mind how he feels about us when we're going through things. And that we've been hit by the fiery dart of the enemy sometimes. So this is why it should always be a reminder. It should always be a reminder to us that we always have to walk by faith and not by sight. Not by feelings, not by emotions. But we walk by faith and not by sight. For with God, there's never a hopeless situation that he can't turn around. Amen. Nothing is impossible with God. So God promised these displaced, defeated, depressed group of people that were in the enemy's territory, I will visit you, and I will perform my good work toward you in causing you to return to this place. So if you're in the situation right now and you feel displaced and discouraged, God's word to you today is he's going to visit you. He is going to visit you and cause you and to perform his word. That is a word. God will perform his word towards you. It may seem a long time in coming, but we walk by faith and not by sight. God promises that he will visit us and he will perform his word that he has given to you. So Ephesians 29 tells us that, it's a powerful scripture for those who feel as they have an uncertain future. But you have a future. God has a plan. He has a future for you. And so what a powerful scripture to those who maybe are concerned about where life is supposed to take them at this point. For those who are in a battle and there seems to be no end, going through the same thing day after day after day. And this is a message of encouragement that no matter where you are in life and no matter how bad things may look at the moment, continue to believe God that has something good for you. Because He is a good, good Father. And sometimes when we start out with our relationship with God, we've got to remember that God is a supernatural God and He is not like people. So we can't compare our relationship to Him in that area. Because I said before, people will let you down. They will discourage you. But He's a good, good Father. Amen. And so know the things that you are currently experiencing is not a reflection on God's will and plan for your life. He can and will turn things around for you. So it all starts, though, with know. God says, I know. So it always starts with that word know. And that word know is from the Hebrew word yada, Y-A-D-A. And as I began to research it, that word know occurs nearly 1,000 times in the Bible. So if a word is occurring that much in the Bible, probably to pay attention to and find out what it means. Amen? So it's use of God's understanding of men as well as our understanding of God. It's a word of intimacy. You know, into me see is what I heard one time, and I thought that's pretty cool. You know, so it's use of God's understanding of men as well as our understanding of God, the very personal word. And it uses this word to proclaim God's complete knowledge of creation and us as His sons and daughters. And nothing can be hidden from His understanding of us. Amen. So God talks about knowing us before we were even born. And, you know, I think at the end I'd made a note, we were God's original idea, not our parents. God just allowed our parents passed across so that we could be born. But we are God's original idea. That's why He knows us. That's why it's always good to know and to put ourselves in remembrance that He has good plans for us and His thoughts are on us continually. Amen. So God talks about knowing us before we were born. In Ephesians chapter 1, He said, long before He laid the foundations of the earth, He had us in mind. His thoughts were already on us, had settled on us as the focus of His love. God's focus is His love toward us. And it's that love that He had for us that drew us to Him at one point in our lives. So to be made whole and holy by His love, long, long ago, He decided to adopt us into His family through Jesus Christ. Wow, that's why we can say, I know the thoughts that you think for me, God. They are good. They're not of evil, but they're to prosper me. They're to bring me peace. So this word is to encourage us that God knows what He's doing in our lives. When things seem upside down and inside out, He knows what He's doing. And even when our lives take a different turn than what we expected. You may find your life going one way and suddenly it's going another way. But remember, it doesn't change God's attitude about you. It doesn't change His love toward you or even His plan toward you. He says, I know the plans. I know the thoughts. So what about that word plans? It's from the Hebrew word also, and it has a lot of different meanings. But they're all within the context of creating something new. So the verb is to make plans. It's to reckon. It's to account or it's to think. And it's found in Genesis. You can go all the way back to Genesis and find this Hebrew word, plans. In 15:6, where it talks about to impute or to account. Remember when God counts Abraham as righteous? So He imputes righteousness to Abraham as something new and unanticipated. Wow. The word means thought. It means plan. It means invention. So this context is about new things. He says, I know the plans for you, and they may be new to you, but they're not to me. Wow. So I know the new ideas I have for you. So one thing I found in my life, that God's plans are never cast in concrete. Many are the plans of man, the Bible tells us. So we can have all sorts of plans and things. And, you know, God has made us a people of choice. Okay? And we can make all kinds of choices in life, and some of those choices are not good, but some of them can lead us along the way in the right path because he doesn't enforce his will on us. So, we cannot say, well, the plans of God are cast in concrete and they can't be changed. If we have that mentality and that attitude, then if our life does take a sudden turn and ends up not in the direction we think that it's supposed to be going or we're going, then we've left God in a box. And we get discouraged and defeated and want to quit. But we've got to understand that flexible adjusting to our lives as our circumstances change. Because we don't live in a perfect world. We live with and we are imperfect. We are associated daily with imperfect people. We get bad doctor reports that may sideline us unexpectedly. And we find ourselves not being able to do what we've been used to do. Does that change God's mind and his plan toward you? You know, no one gets married thinking about a divorce. No one thinks of growing up that you'd be the one that was abused and neglected. Does that God change God's attitude or his plans for you? That wasn't his plans for you. But it's the plans that he has for us are not set in concrete. Because circumstances happen in life, and he knew that. He knew that we would be living in a fallen world. He knew that we would be living in a world that was fallen. Amen. So we get bad doctor's reports and all those things. So no one thinks I have a job 10, 15 years and this is where I'm going to stay till I retire. But what if you got fired for some reason? What if you got laid off for some reason? What if the company changed for some reason? And you find yourself having to get reeducated or do something different? So we can't put God in a box and say, this is the way it's supposed to be. And if it doesn't work out, it's my fault. Or I will blame God, or I'll blame everybody else around me. No, just pick yourself up and say, okay, God, let's go with this new direction that you're causing me to go in. I may not understand it. I may have got hurt from it. This may have happened because of it. But I choose to be healed, and I choose to pick myself up and go on. But you know, there's one thing that is for sure, and that's settled in concrete. It's our salvation. The blood of Jesus. So just because your life is not working out the way you had planned it doesn't mean that God has given up on you. Because God knows things are going to happen in our lives, and we have to trust and believe him. Even when it's our choice of making the wrong choice, he'll say, okay, now, let's go back. Let's refocus. Amen. So it's easy to think that God has only one perfect plan for your life, and if you make a mistake, sin, miss the mark, the plan will be forever destroyed. But that's not the case. When things come along in our life, we're to take it and we're to allow it to make us grow and develop character and purpose in us. And so when we have that attitude, we will have to live with the second best, the third best. Each time you fail to meet expectations that you've set up for yourself and not been able to think out of the box of keeping God in that concrete setting, that if it's not working out the way you thought it was, then it must not be God. The perfect plan, as I mentioned, that God does have for us, that one purpose and that one goal that's set in concrete, that you become all that you were meant to be through conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. So one thing is sure, if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, that's written in blood, and that plan never changes. And once you begin to understand that, then all the cricks and all those things in life that happen can make more sense. Can say, okay, this has happened. What are we going to do about it now? So we do what Romans 12:1 says in the Message Bible. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday ordinary life. Take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. And that's what we need to do each day, because we never know what's going to happen from sun up to sundown. It's like Crystal saw the first sunrise in heaven this morning. Her first sunrise in heaven. Hallelujah. So, and place it before God as an offering. And that's what we do with our lives. We place our lives before God as an offering. Do what we know to do, taking one step at a time. And as I said before, that's all we need. Because God always gives us enough light just for the step that we're on at the moment. So he says, embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. You want to please God? Offer your life as a sacrifice to him. Embrace what he does for you. That's well-pleasing to God. So in Hebrew, Jeremiah 28 reads, I know the plans that I have planned for you. I know the purpose that I purpose for you. So what are the plans? What are the thoughts that God has for you? His plans is to prosper you and not to harm you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. And sometimes we get our vision blurred of what we know about God because of maybe of our upbringing, our religious upbringing that wasn't in line with the Word of God. So if we think that God is evil and he's out to get you, and that things that happen in life is his fault or whatever, then that's your blurred vision of who God is. That he's a God of love, mercy, and grace, and favor towards you. And he is trying to get all good things to you. That's his thoughts towards you. His plans is to prosper you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Prosper is the word meaning peace. It also has the meanings of perfect, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, wellness, health, and safety. That is the life that he wants you to have in him. Shalom is about our relationship to God. Because you cannot live in peace outside of that relationship with God. People may think they are. But you cannot live in peace outside of your relationship with God. And because all things in life come from him. And like I said last week, remember, if we get this relationship right, the horizontal relationship right with God, because, you know, he is the one that created us. He is the one that made us. And we may use our life for a lot of different purposes. You know, it's like the chair, the maker of the chair made the chair to sit in. But you can do a lot of things with that chair other than the purpose it was made for. You can stack books on it. You can stand on it, put a light bulb in, all different kinds of things. But that chair was made to sit in. And it's like our lives was made to offer sacrifice to God and to serve him. And we can use our life in a lot of other different ways. So until we get that horizontal relationship right, all the other aspects of living are really unsteady. We have no hope. We have no foundation. We are tossed to and fro. We lack that solid foundation. But when that horizontal relationship is right, then all the other relationships outside of that will flow from that with ourselves to other people. So the intention of God's purpose for us is peace. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, not for evil. So it means that God's new ideas for you are for good. His new ideas for you. Because the ideas and the plan that you have may not be what his ideas and plans are. So he said, now let's look at this new idea that I have for you. You remember last Sunday I was talking about how that there are times when you just get the word for the Lord and you know it's exactly what you want to do. This is the word for the house in the morning. And there's sometimes you can't get nothing. And you're like, okay, God, what's going on? And he'll just say, what do you want to do that morning? That's God trusting you. And that's the same thing with sometimes with our plan in life. You know, God, you just begging God to show you your plan, his plan, blah, blah, blah. And he said, what do you want to do? Wow. And if it's in line with the word, it's okay. You know, if you wanted to go back to school, you don't have to have a picture on the wall to say, do it. Just say, okay, God, is this what you want? Let's go with it. That's called trust between a father and his son and daughters. Wow. Isn't that awesome? That God has that much trust and faith in us too. So how much more should we not have faith and trust in God? That his plans are for us are good and not evil. A peace and an expected and a hopeful end. So it means that God's new ideas for you are for your own good. His purpose is to bring you peace and not evil. A life of nothing missing and nothing broken. He's not a vengeance or a malicious God. And sometimes maybe our blurred vision has become because of what other people have told us, that he's out to get you. But his plan is quite the opposite of that. He says, I know the plans for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a future with hope and hope. So the last part of the verse tells us the intention of God's plans. He said, an expected end, a hope and a future. So life may not look like it's going towards the God-desired end, but he is constantly thinking about us, thinking about you, and our lives are continually pushing us forward in that direction. The future that we've been talking about, going forward as we've been talking about. Live in the present, enjoy the present, because the present is what propels you into the future. So we are always on his mind. So what constantly occupies God's mind concerning you is how he can bring you to manifestation the end that he intends for your life. Because that's what we are believing for and working toward, is the manifestation of the promises of God in our lives. That's why we keep believing and we keep trusting. I believe, so therefore I will see. I don't see, therefore I believe. But it's quite the opposite. I believe because it's the word. It's what the promises of God says. When or how, I don't know. But I know God's plans toward us is always good and not of evil. So what are we constantly occupies God's mind is bringing that manifestation in. And so you're not a mistake on earth. You're not a mistake. You were born to the people, parents you were supposed to be born to. And you may think, boy, they are really dysfunctional. You just don't know. Did you ever think that, you know, no, better not go there. So you're not a mistake on earth. Your birth was not an accident. You were born to the parents that you were born for, too. And you've got to work it out. And the past can only hold you in bondage if you allow it to. Because your future is much brighter than your past. Amen. So God thought about you in eternity. And what I said before is you are God's original idea. You were God's original idea, not your parents. In Proverbs 3:6, he closes and says, 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge God. When you acknowledge someone, you take recognition of them. You care about what they think. You find out what they think. And what happens when you do that? He will direct your path. He will direct your path. So hopefully this has been a reminder to you today to be encouraged. If you're in the midst of what of things that's going on, know that God's plan for you is good. That he wants to prosper you. One of the definitions of prosper is to succeed at reaching its intended purpose. God's plan to prosper you is for you to succeed at reaching the intended purpose that he has for you here on this earth. And know that the blood of Jesus, you're saved, and that is sealed in contract, but the plan and purposes and things of life, they can change at any moment. Because we live in a world that's fallen, and we're just passing through. So if you find yourself sidelined or going in the opposite direction, say, okay, God, let's run with this. Amen.
It's interesting that the Jeremiah 29, you all may have heard me share this, but that in the year 2016 when Pastor died, and you know, and he was gone for 30 minutes and the Lord brought him back. Well, you know the process. Everything in his body had to be brought back to life. And we spent weeks and weeks, and still those kidneys didn't want to do right. He had already had 3 dialysis treatments. And they had come in, they were going to have to, it was going to have to leave the hospital, it's going to have to go to a rehab. So they had come in and said that they were going to, what they wanted to do was send him to the rehab in Louisville where they sent everybody to die. I forgot the name of it, but it's Kindred. Everybody, people's got all kinds of things wrong with him, and he needed dialysis and this, you know, all of that. Well, everything up to that point, I was hearing from God, and I was, you know, telling the kids that he's not going to stay like this, and I thought, you know, But that night, it's kind of like, you know, you needed the booster shot. I sat down. I said, all right, God, I need to hear from you. I said, this is what they're telling me. I said, they're telling me that Monday they're going to send him to Kindred. And I said, I know that, and they've got him all fixed up. They're getting ready to put a permanent thing in to give him dialysis. And I said, I don't know. I know he could be on dialysis for 3 years, and you could still change it. But I said, Lord, I need a word. I need to know what direction. Well, so it was the scripture for the day. Come on, phone. And anyway, that scripture, the funny thing was it opened up in the Message Bible, and it said, and this is God's word on the subject.
Yeah.
I went. And I looked back, and I said, yeah, that's today's verse. And it said, this is, and I'm going, I had just asked God to give me something. And he said, as soon as Babylon 70 years are up and not a day before, I'll show up. I'll show up and take care of you as I promised and bring you back home. Yeah. And I said, and then he said, I know what I'm doing, Shirley.
Yes, he does.
I have it all planned out.
Yes, he
See?
Does.
Our plan switched just a little bit.
Because
we didn't plan on him dying. And plans to take care of you and not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. And I'm sitting in that hospital room reading this. And then it says, when you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. And when you come looking for me, you'll find me. And when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. Well, you see, they kept saying those kidneys needed to turn around. Well, they just need to turn around. And this is the next thing. Well, that's when I quit reading, and I jumped up and I ran around in a room. I'll turn things around for you. We're going home.
Yeah,
he's taking care of everything. We're our future's what God wants it to be, and he's turning those kidneys around. So I mean, tell you, I could have run through a troop and leap over a wall. And the next morning early, they come in to do lab work, and I said, we're going to get a good report. I tell them that every morning. They go, yeah. He was already scheduled for dialysis that day. So I don't know. I just knew. I knew. In comes the doctor. The one that's very negative, and he says, well, according to the lab work, he's not getting dialysis today because the kidneys turned around. And well, the next Monday, we didn't go to Kindred. We went to a rehab in E-Town, and guess what? He's sitting here today. But I tell you what, everything she said is right. And I mean, you know, sometimes God's plans for us change. But the initial call is still there, right?
Right.
Just that their path getting there is different.
Yeah.
I don't know what's wrong with me today.
Amen.
Good ending to the message.
Throw my phone down, didn't I?
Let's stand to our feet.
It's covered.
Amen. Father, we thank you for this word today. Even though we find ourselves maybe going in the opposite direction of what we thought we were going to do and our plans, many are our plans, God. But we thank you, Lord, that you never forsake us. You never abandon us. You have got us in the grip of your hands.
Wow.
And you dance over us with joy. Thank you for your love for us, God. Even when we feel unlovable, you love us. We're so thankful for that, Lord. Thank you for all those that hear this message today that's going to hear it over the internet, God. I thank you, Lord. The word will still be relevant. And I just speak favor over your people today, that it surrounds us as a shield. Thank you for that today, Jesus. I speak health, wealth, and blessings upon you today as you go forward with us next week in the power and the might of God. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen.